Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. What a great program so far if you've been tuned in since hour one. Boy, we gave the gunbroker.com range bag away. Tori just won that. Tori, congratulations. Really, wow. You're going to love that. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Reach out to me. I want to get that sent to you and all the goodies that go with it. It's about a $600-plus value. So those of you who did not win, and there were many of you who did not, have no fear. I've got three more of these gunbroker.com range bags to give away. We're going to do another one in a couple weeks. So stay tuned. More on that coming up in a few days. The opening segment in hour one, I spoke a little bit about the USCCA, because there's a piece out that's making news, and a lot of you are writing me about it, and I can't really tell you any more about it other than what you read. And suffice to say that I have spent the last number of years of my life as a part of the Delta Defense. The USCCA, of course, is an offshoot of that, but it's Delta Defense that's involved. What you've got here is a woman in Louisiana who is suing Delta Defense, the parent of USCCA, because of the insurance that she has, or the Platinum self-defense program that she has. And a number of you are writing me, asking me if I know anything about it. I don't know any more than I've read. And if you have questions, you need to contact them. Andrew Branca wrote a piece about not the actual case itself, because we don't know. That doesn't go to trial until May. Not worried about that. But the teaching moment on this is how much it costs to defend yourself. Let's go to Andrew Branca from the Law of Self-Defense, who's really fine enough to join us here on short notice on Armed American Radio today. Andrew, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Just living the dream, Mark. Happy to be on anytime.
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream. Let's discuss a little bit about this. I mean, you wrote a piece, and I've got it in my email, and your piece is a USCCA suit in federal court refused to cover platinum member question mark. We really don't want to talk about the case, right? Because we really can't, other than what we know, what was filed. And that's only one side. Have you heard anything from Delta Defense?
I have heard something from Delta Defense, and it was a firm no comment.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So on the merits, we don't know what's going on. All we know, all that's on the table is this federal lawsuit that's been filed, where it's alleged, and again, we don't know if this is true, but it's alleged that someone who claims to be a USCCA Platinum member had some of her legal expenses reimbursed, as most of us would expect in this kind of self-defense case. But then the payments from USCCA, she says, stopped coming when they should have kept coming. And that's what the lawsuit is about. But again, on the merits, we don't know what the facts are. It's possible USCCA has a perfectly legitimate reason for not paying. But if so, they're not sharing with us what that reason is.
Okay, and I would expect them during litigation to respond with no comment. That doesn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form. And the case is not scheduled to be heard until when, May?
Well, the criminal trial for the underlying use of force. So
her case, let me rephrase that from the beginning. This woman is on trial for second-degree murder. Her case, her murder case, is not expected to be heard until May, correct?
Right. Her trial date on second-degree murder charges is May 2nd, 2020.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know anything about her case against Delta. We're not even concerned about that anymore. I don't even want to go there. Where I want to go with you is your email opened up, as it always does, to me, just a wealth of information that I want my listeners to understand. And here's where I'm going, listener. If you carry a firearm for self-defense, I mentioned this in the first hour, you need to be thinking about these things. Don't just decide one day, hey, I think it's cool, I'm going to carry a gun because I have a right to carry a gun because Beto O'Rourke is saying that he wants to take away my rights. That's not what this is about. When you carry a gun for self-defense, there are a lot of issues, a lot of things you need to be concerned with. Number one, not to mention the training. That's a whole different program. But from a legal aspect, we've got Andrew Branca on here, the Law of Self-Defense, one of the leading attorneys in the country and one of the best books out there as far as I'm personally concerned, the Law of Self-Defense, who reminds us of the costs involved. Now, the reason that this was important in your email that went out, if I take away from it correctly, was you forget the fact that she sued, and we don't know anything about that. As you said, they could have a great idea or a great, perfectly great reason. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is she said they paid $50,000 up front. That didn't even scratch her surface, did it?
No, that's right. One of the things I always urge people to consider is just having a gun on your person. And again, I'm someone who carries a gun every day for personal protection. I have my whole life. I'm all for it. That doesn't eliminate the very broad range of risks that we all face anytime it comes to a use of force event. And one of those risks is simply the sheer enormous cost of a criminal defense if you find yourself charged with a use of force crime. And that's true no matter how innocent your use of force actually was. And it's true even if you end up getting acquitted or get the charges dismissed, the costs are still enormous. And we have evidence of that. I always tell people that, and they're like, oh, Andrew, that's silly. It can't possibly be as expensive as you're saying it is. But one of the things mentioned in this federal civil complaint that's been filed by this woman is that she says that she's a platinum member. She's entitled to $150,000 in coverage from USCCA. She claims they're not making good on that obligation. That's a separate issue. But she also says she's already burned through more than $150,000 in legal costs. That was of the date her complaint was filed, which was earlier this month, October 2nd. Folks, her trial date on these second-degree murder charges isn't for 7 more months. She's burned through $150,000 in legal expenses, and she's still 7 months away from actually getting to trial. What do you think her cost will be by the time she gets to trial, by the time she's done with trial? And even if she wins, even if she's victorious, even if she's acquitted of all criminal charges at trial and walks out of that courtroom a free woman, she's still out all that money, folks. It's gone.
And
she doesn't get it back just because she was acquitted.
No, and I think it's important to point out, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that she wins on her complaint against the USCCA. It's not going to scratch the surface of what she's going to have to pay out between now and the end of this. Let me give you an example. George Zimmerman's a prime example. I got to know George Zimmerman over the years. He'll never pay back, ever will he pay back the fees and the expense and the cost of his trial as it went on, Andrew. Never, ever. It was in the millions. I have well over $3.5 million. That's surprising.
Yeah, and of course his lawyers don't really expect him to pay it back, but it's and people wonder, well, how could it possibly be that expensive? Well, I can tell you, and it's because you're not just paying for that lawyer you see in the courtroom on TV or the two lawyers you see in the courtroom on TV. Behind George Zimmerman and Mark O'Mara and Don West was a whole team, a legal team behind them. And they were invaluable. One of the things many people don't know about that trial because they may not have followed it this closely, but just as an example of how important it is to have a sizable legal team. During jury selection, there was a prospective juror who was questioned before the trial, and they asked him, do you have any bias towards George Zimmerman? Can you be a fair, unbiased juror on this trial? And he said, absolutely. I have no bias towards George Zimmerman at all. I would be a totally fair juror. And you know what the legal team for George Zimmerman found when they investigated this guy? They looked at his Facebook page, and he basically had George Zimmerman wanted dead or alive on his Facebook page. This guy would never have voted for acquittal because he was 100% biased going into the process. If George Zimmerman had one lawyer or two lawyers and that was it, those guys don't have time while they're fighting in the courtroom to also go at night and look at people's Facebook pages. But they had the legal team available to do that. And so they prevented this guy from being on the jury because they were able to show bias up front. They would never have been able to do that if they were by themselves or if George Zimmerman had a public defender. And we'd all like to think that justice shouldn't come with a price tag. But folks, fighting a legal battle in a trial is like fighting any other kind of battle. The more resources you can bring to that battle, the more likely you are to win that battle. And so when you're looking at the prospect of potentially spending the rest of your life in a cage surrounded by really unpleasant people, I can assure you, you will spend whatever you can get your hands on to avoid that from happening. And it can get into the six figures or higher really fast, as we see in this case, even months before you ever get to trial.
When we come back from this break, there are two directions I want to go with Andrew on this. And I think you'll find it fascinating because we're going to stay on the cost of this for just a few moments before we decide wherever else we want to go when we have Andrew here and we have the ability to talk about these incredibly important issues. But this conversation of cost and what it means to you or what it could mean to you, I mean, we're talking the destruction of your life in various different ways, not just the cage aspect. We'll be back after this. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio from the MonsterCast Crossbreed Holster Studios continues. Please make sure to support all of our sponsors. Here's a quick business update. Armed American Radio's new website, I teased it in the first couple hours, is about ready to launch. I'm hopeful to see something latter part of this week, maybe midweek. Oh, I know I might be a little bit optimistic there, but boy, I'll tell you, it's been a while coming, and I can't wait to get the pages out to you. You're going to love the site once we get this thing launched. There's some swag available for you. Starting off small, got to start somewhere, but we'll build up from there. Premium content will start almost immediately, and I keep getting the emails from you. I love it. Mark@armedamericanradio.org, and everything is going to be priced right for you. You're going to love what you see as we move into the next decade. Let's go back to Andrew Branca. Andrew, welcome back to the program. So much fun to talk with you about this stuff, such serious topics. When we're talking about cost, before I go into the real direction I want to go with this relative to cost, I have to ask you this question. Have you ever met an attorney that wouldn't put a lien on someone's house to take a case? I haven't. Have you?
No. Attorneys are paid up front for the simple reason that they know if they're not paid up front, they're never paid afterwards. Afterwards, either they've won the case for the client or they've lost the case for the client. If they've won the case, the client doesn't need them anymore. So and it's very hard to squeeze money out of people that don't need you anymore. And if they've lost the case, the client doesn't want to pay.
And that leads me to the following question. Well, what about my right to an attorney? What if I can't afford one, one will be appointed to me. Do I want a public defender handling a second-degree murder case for me that could see me in a cage, as you mentioned, for the next 50 years or for the rest of my life?
Yeah, so this is a great question. And I should tell people, my first experience in the law was working for the public defender's office in New York State. I know a lot of public defenders who are absolutely world-class attorneys. I mean, public defenders tend to get a bad rap. The challenge, however, for a public defender is as good as an attorney as they might be, they are all also vastly overworked. They're not handling just your case. They may be handling dozens of cases. And they simply don't have the resources to devote to any single client because in their eyes, all the clients have to be considered, you know, equally in need of their legal services. They don't have the time or the resources to devote to your case that you would want an attorney who's fighting for your life. Let's face it, fighting for whether you spend the rest of your life in a cage or not in a cage. They simply don't have the bandwidth to give you the kind of legal service that you would want to have. That's why private attorneys exist in the criminal context. And by the way, keep in mind, in the civil context, you don't get a state-appointed attorney. You only get a public defender in the criminal context, which admittedly is most important. So while public defenders can be great attorneys, they're not going to be able to provide the same level of resources, nowhere near the same level of resources that a privately paid for legal team can provide.
And resources, are they going to be able to, or are they going to have, well, I guess this is going to be a cost related to you, a public defender, are they going to be able to afford a Masoud Ayoub to come in and defend them? Yes or no?
Maybe not. It all depends on how much money they can squeeze out of the system. But the system's not obliged to expend an infinite amount of money on your legal defense. That's simply not how it works. Typically, public defenders try to get these experts to come in for free. But experts are experts for a reason, and they tend to be costly.
The experts that I personally know, many of them are the same that you know, are anything but free.
Yeah. That's right. So the price tag tends to go up pretty sharply. And again, as we see here in this particular case, this woman, who may be guilty or not guilty, right? We don't know. She's mounting a legal defense to very serious criminal charges, second-degree murder. Ultimately, a jury is going to decide whether or not she's been proven guilty or not. But in the meantime, she's running through six-figure-plus legal expenses, and she doesn't even have her trial's not even in sight yet.
How in the world does someone come up with $500,000 cash without some type of legal defense fund, like a, you know, platinum that she has? Where do you come up with that money? Do you have to sell your home and move? What's my attorney going to expect?
A lot of people do, in fact, end up selling their homes, selling their businesses, cashing out their retirement accounts, cashing out their kids' college fund. Because, again, unless your attorney is going to agree to work for free, which is pretty darn unlikely. I mean, even in the case of George Zimmerman, for example, those attorneys know they're never going to see all those billables ever paid to them. But they did get quite a lot of money up front. I mean, there was fundraising efforts for George Zimmerman, and so they were compensated to a pretty high degree going in, and then they continued to work for free afterwards. But no attorney's working for free from the start. If they're already engaged in the case, they may elect to continue working on it, even though they know you've run out of money. But they're not going to go into a case, especially a murder case, a manslaughter case, knowing that you have no money. They'll simply decline to take the case.
That's okay. All right, good. I'm glad you went there. Let's go there. Let's go there. This is a very important conversation to have. Very important. If you carry a firearm, I hope you're paying very careful attention to this. You went right where I wanted to ask you as that line was opening up for me. If I go to you, because I'm a good guy, Andrew, I'm a good guy. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't wake up to decide I was going to shoot and kill somebody today. But, you know, don't we all feel that way? We're the good guys. And certainly any attorney that I talk to is going to realize that I'm the good guy and not a second-degree murderer. So when I go in to talk to you and I tell you, hey, I need your help. I can sell my house. I can come up with $100,000. I've got, oh, I don't know, pick a number. I've got a $50,000 401k. I'll cash that out. I got to pay tax on top of that, so I'm only going to get 30 out of it. But I'll give it all to you. You're not obliged to take my case at all.
No. In fact, what will typically happen in those circumstances is the lawyer will craft a very narrowly defined representation agreement and say, listen, I'll represent you up to this point in the process, say negotiating with prosecutors or getting to a grand jury or the day before a trial actually begins. But after that, unless you come up with more money, you got to find another attorney. Because no lawyer, no private practice lawyer, at least no lawyer you would want representing you, is going to take a murder case for $30,000 or $50,000. It's just not enough money.
No attorney that I would want. Can you get more specific with that?
Well, sure. I mean, you go to any courthouse in the country and you'll find some guy in a $100 suit who happened to pass the bar exam and get admitted to the bar. Willing to take a case because, I don't know, he's got child support payments he's got to make that week. But that's not necessarily the attorney you want representing you. Not all attorneys are created equal. There's really good ones, and there's ones that, are not that good. You don't want a not that good attorney representing you on a killing charge.
So this is when you have to pull out all the stops, listeners. We're going to get ready to take a break here. We're going to come back hear more from Andrew from the Law of Self-Defense. We'll go a bunch of different directions with him, but... You know, here you've got a woman who, because of the story that we read and that Andrew wrote about and because it was close to home and so forth, makes for this type of fascinating conversation in the sense that the money involved, and that was the key, she's suing because she says, I've already spent that and the trial isn't for 7 more months. This is what we wanted you to take away. This is what I wanted you to think about. Not the legal defense fund, but the amount of money involved and the fact that she's still got, as we were talking a few moments ago, another 7 months to go before trial. That's just to get to trial. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
I love a great success story, and Defender Coffee is one that I'm proud to bring to you. The crew at Defender Coffee understands our right to bear arms is under vicious attack as never before and donates 100% of profits to the Second Amendment rights organization of your choice. You heard that right. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends our freedoms. Get this. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today to enjoy great coffee and do your part to defend the Second.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms, custom built at your request. We employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at VaultProUSA.com. That's VaultProUSA.com. And check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at VaultProUSA.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by Taser Self-Defense. Visit Taser.com to meet your new sidekick.
Armed American Radio's monster broadcast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios continues. Wow, what a show so far today. I hope you're enjoying it. We've got Andrew Branca for the next two segments, and then we're going to have to call this one quits. This one's going to be in the books. But you know what's nice? We're taking it right smack into the next decade. So many great things getting ready to pop here at Armed American Radio in a lot of different ways. You're going to start seeing more multimedia. One of those individuals whose multimedia you're going to begin seeing more of is right here on the line with us now. We'll go back to Andrew in just a second. Please, please make sure to support all, and I mean all of our sponsors. Everybody out there that is supporting this program deserves our support, because they're standing up and saying, you know what? I'm going to support the Second Amendment by supporting the voice that's talking about and supporting the Second Amendment, and they need our assistance. If you're shaving, use a GetSupply.com razor from Supply Company. Drink Defender Coffee and donate a portion of those profits to the organization of your choice. I donate, as you know, to the Second Amendment Foundation. Visit GunBroker.com. It's 100% free. All you have to do is visit. It's that simple. Lead Slingers Whiskey. Head over and check one out. Lead Slingers. Seven combat vets. Don't argue with seven combat vets. You're going to see more from Lead Slingers Whiskey in the future. And there's one thing I want to point out, and this is a great opportunity for me to do this. November 23rd, if you're going to be anywhere near the Atlanta, Georgia area, I will be doing the first Grilling While Armed event. George the Mad Ogre Hill is also slated to be there. at the high caliber gun, at the gun shop and the pistol range in Holly Springs, Georgia. High caliber in Holly Springs, Georgia. We're going to have a number of different sponsors out there. The Sean and everybody at High Caliber Range going to have a bunch of folks out there. I will be taping this program from the event. So we'll have a guest host there. I think Lead Slingers is going to be there. George the Mad Ogre will be there. We'll be signing books, and we will be grilling while armed at High Caliber at the gun shop and the range in Holly Springs on November 23rd. I'll have more of it on social media as we develop more information. So let's just toss that out for you right now. More coming on that very, very soon. Let's go back to Andrew Branca, the Law of Self-Defense. Andrew, I could go in so many different directions relative to the cost involved here. The so-called insurance, which is, legal defense fund. I mean, is it really insurance? The whole thing with the public defender, which we covered, I'll let that go. Let me close out the public defender with this. If that's the route I have to go because that's what I have to do, it sure beats defending myself, right?
Yeah, it's simply, it's not realistic for anybody not trained in the law to attempt to mount the legal defense. It's simply, for better or worse, the process has simply been made too technically complicated to manage unless you've been professionally trained and experienced, especially when we're talking about the stakes being the rest of your life in prison.
Yeah, I can't stress that enough, can't overemphasize that. You're talking about a cage. Ooh, you are talking about a cage. If you've ever watched Locked Up or you've ever seen any of the prison shows, I've been fascinated by prison shows since I was a kid. You know, Andrew, I got to tell you, that's the kind of stuff always kept you on the straight and narrow. You see that stuff, man, I wouldn't want to live like that, But it is literally a cage. And I don't know that you, listener, would want to go from your life today to that. I don't know that you could. I don't think I could. All right? It's just nuts. All right, let's talk a little bit now, Andrew, about insurance. You talk about it on your page. You've talked about it on a lot of podcasts. Self-defense insurance. A lot of it's not insurance. And for many years on here, I am a platinum USCCA member, have been for many, many years. Okay. It's a good product. Isn't it a product that I should have if I carry a gun?
I mean, the issue for most people is when we consider that legal defenses can easily get up into the six figures, pretty fast and higher. Most people don't have a paper bag with $500,000 in it just sitting around their house in case they ever have to defend themselves. So how do you come up with that kind of money? Well, maybe you could sell your house. Maybe you could sell your business. Maybe those things, maybe they're worth the money you need anyway. But keep in mind, you don't get that money back. It's not like you've paid bail and you get it back if you show up for court. You pay that money in legal expenses. It's gone. You paid for legal expenses. You got the legal representation. So the house isn't coming back. The business isn't coming back. It's all been transferred into that legal representation. So the question then is, well, how do you come up with the money you need? And of course, one of the answers that's developed over recent years has been what's commonly referred to as self-defense insurance. Now, it's not really insurance. The member's not insured. Sometimes the company offering the service is backed by an insurance company. But all the member gets is basically a promise, a commitment from whoever the organization is to reimburse them for their legal defenses in a self-defense type of event. And we've often recommended a variety of these in terms of recommended them in terms of what people should look to as reasonable options. We've never recommended here at Law Self-Defense one particular company over others because they all have their own strengths and weaknesses. There is no perfect provider of quote-unquote self-defense insurance. They have different conditions and different exclusions and different costs. So what fits best for one person may not fit best for another. But we've always been comfortable recommending USCCA for people to look at, recommending CCWSA for people to look at, recommending Armed Citizen Legal Defense Network. Again, the best fit for any individual can only be decided by that individual. I will say we do have a dedicated course here at Law Self-Defense on self-defense insurance to teach people what characteristics to look for, what things are important, what things aren't important, what things, by the way, to absolutely avoid in a quote-unquote self-defense insurance provider. And just for listeners of Armed America Radio, we have set up a 50% discount on that course. People can learn more about our self-defense insurance course if they point their browser to lawofselfdefense.com/AAR.
All right. Yeah. Well, by the way, just for you, listener, that, you know, we did get that taken care of last week. I got a lot of emails or a couple weeks back when you were on, Andrew. So it is lawofselfdefense.com/AAR. And Andrew was kind enough. I hear this stuff from him the first time that you do. Andrew, I want to thank you for that. It's huge. And I get a lot of positive feedback from my listeners. And I have a number of emails here of folks that were asking me to ask you questions anyway. All right. So.
Wow. Yeah, Mark, I'll just mention to people, you know, anyone looking at any of these, whichever provider they're looking at, most of these plans are $30, $40, $50 a month, okay? So they're going to spend several hundred dollars a year on this plan. With this discount, our self-defense insurance course, I think is $50 once, and it could save you from making a horrible mistake, folks, from getting into a plan that simply is not right for you for one shot of $50.
So this teaches you what to look for, right? This explains what to look for in the course. What should you as an individual consider when making the decision for what's right for you without recommending any one particular plan, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Okay. That's fair enough. I think that's great information. lawofselfdefense.com/AAR. I'm going to take that, by the way. All right. Oh, man. In my next segment, you're going to love this because I'm going to go somewhere with Andrew that he wasn't expecting. But it is always a fan favorite. So I'm going to go ahead and tease it now, Andrew, just so you know, before we close out this segment, which the segments are flying right by. But I get more email from people when they find out that you've been on or they missed it. They go back and listen to the podcast. I always get this. Ask Andrew about this. People, I guess everybody loves watching live PD. You know, I have to admit that I was watching it last night late into the night. I'll fall asleep and watch the rewind version of it. And always find myself at the same spot I fell asleep, and then I can continue on, or I'll hit the record button. People love to watch that stuff. So here's my question, and I'll just throw this out for you now. When we come back, we'll get Andrew Brank in the final segment to answer some of these questions for us. But, Andrew, I need to know what happens if I'm carrying my firearm lawfully and I get stopped. Now, I know that individual states have different laws. So when we come back, I want to get a kind of generic blanket answer from you. But before we do it, I'm going to tell you about a personal story that happened to me, and you tell me if I handled it correctly. And by that, I mean I was driving to get ice cream with my kids when they were little. I was openly carrying a .45 on my hip. I am not required by the state of Georgia to mention to the police officer that I was carrying a firearm, and the police officer couldn't have seen my firearm because the window was off to my left side, so he would have, unless he had x-ray vision, would have never known. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what I did. I'll get your advice, and then we'll just kind of talk through it because it's one of the most often asked questions I get. I'll be back with Andrew right after this. Don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on the nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With the simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with the room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
I love a great success story, and Defender Coffee is one that I'm proud to bring to you. The crew at Defender Coffee understands our right to bear arms is under vicious attack as never before and donates 100% of profits to the Second Amendment rights organization of your choice. You heard that right. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends our freedoms. Get this. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today to enjoy great coffee and do your part to defend the Second.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast, segment four, hour three. That means this is the end. I'm saving what I think is one of the best conversations of the day for right now. Andrew, welcome back. Lawofselfdefense.com for everything from Andrew Branca. And he was kind enough, as you heard in the previous segment, for the course, the insurance course, teaching you what to look for. And you're getting, what is it, half off now, Andrew? 50% off?
Half off just for Armed America Radio.
Lawofselfdefense.com/AAR. Take advantage of these wonderful things that these amazing experts are able to provide for us. Boy, I tell you, education and information is huge. And if you carry a firearm, you simply can't get too much of either. Okay, and training. Let's not forget that. But education, inform yourself, and train. Andrew, I get this question all the time, and I got to be honest with you. I love reading the forums. I love getting embroiled in the conversations myself. You heard me describe in the previous segment a case that I was driving down. I got a ticket out of that, $186. I beat that ticket in court because the officer was mistaken of where the speed limit sign was. That being beside the point, I still had to take time off, and I still had to go to court. The fact of the matter is I was carrying a firearm. I did not disclose to the officer that I had the firearm. I had my wife to my right. My two children at that time were both in car seats behind me. They were crying, thinking daddy was going to jail because of the blue lights, and they just thought it was a bit traumatic thing for the kids at that age. Should I have told the officer I had the gun whether or not I was supposed to or not?
Okay, so the first thing I should say is obviously some states have mandatory reporting requirements where if you're interacting with a law enforcement officer and you're carrying a gun, you're supposed to tell them that you're carrying a gun. So obviously, if the law requires you to do that, then that's what you should do. So that's off the table. We're really now only talking about circumstances in which it's not lawfully required that you do so. Should you nevertheless tell the officer right. You have a gun? So it's not really a legal issue. It's more kind of a practical common sense issue. But for me, the bottom line is this. You do not want to surprise a cop with a gun. You do not want him to find by surprise suddenly that you're armed when he had no reason before to believe you're armed. And this applies whether the gun's on your person or In the old days before concealed carry, in many states it was illegal to conceal carry, but you could keep a gun in your car. People would often keep a gun in their glove compartment. Right. Then they get pulled over, and the cop asks for their registration, and where's their registration? In the glove compartment.
Right.
So they pop open the glove compartment. There's their gun all of a sudden, and they look over their shoulder, and the cop's pointing a revolver at them. So you do not want to surprise police officers with a gun. So my personal practice, and again, I carry a gun every day. So if I'm out in public and it's lawfully permitted, I'm armed. If I get pulled over for speeding or running a stop sign, whatever the case might be, my personal practice is to not volunteer that I have a concealed firearm unless it's required by law. Now, having said that, if anything occurs where it might be discovered now that I have a firearm, for example, the officer says, can you step out of the car, please? Right. Maybe they want to give me, I don't know, a field sobriety test or something. If they're going to ask me to get out of the car, before I get out of that car with my hands on the steering wheel, I will inform the officer that I'm armed and ask him how he would like me to proceed from there. But if I'm just sitting in my car, and I'm sad to say I've been known to be a little bit heavy on the gas pedal from time to time. I've gotten my share of speeding tickets. This is how I've always practiced that, and I've never had any complications over it, whatever, because I'm very diligent about carrying concealed. I've carried concealed my whole life. No one's ever made me as carrying a gun, whether they were law enforcement or not, because I carry concealed in a responsible way. So my practice is not to make an issue of it unless it's legally required that I do so, or unless the circumstances might lead to the cop discovering I have a gun by surprise. I do not want to surprise that officer.
Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting. That's great advice, listener, by the way. And I've been in each of those situations and done each of those things that Andrew has just described. In this particular case, I really wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't mention it. Had I been asked to step out, I would have certainly told the officer that I had a firearm that I was carrying. That didn't transpire. It was unnecessary to do so. I also had, on the other side of the spectrum, I got pulled over for a speeding ticket. I'm like you. I've had a lead foot over the years. I spent a lot of time in outside sales, a lot of driving over the years throughout the Southeast and elsewhere. So when you find yourself with a lot of windshield time, it's not unusual to get pulled over from time to time, particularly in various states by various different law enforcement officers where laws are different. But in every single case, and one in particular in Florida, I'm reminded of, Andrew, where I was pulled over on my way home from my office back home. And I did mention that I had a firearm because of where it was carried, and I didn't want to have to lean over and have the officer see the firearm that was on my person because I wasn't having to lean over too far. So I told the officer I had a firearm. He said, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Just keep your hands where I can see them as long as you're lawfully concealing it. Let me see your permit. It was good to rock and roll. That's the way I think most cops would operate. But I remember having a conversation with a police officer at a car wash of all places, a Florida Highway Patrol trooper, who made the same comment when we were talking about these things. He said, it's not necessary really for you to notify us. We assume every car has one and every driver has one anyway, number one. But number two, just what you said, Andrew, if that gun is going to become visible because you reach over into a glove box or a console to pull out your insurance or your registration papers and we see that gun, you're going to have a 9mm in your ear. It's in your best interest to tell us. Isn't that what you just said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next question. What happens when a police officer is asking you to do things that you know he doesn't have the right under the law in your state to ask you? For example, I'm in a Publix shopping center. I'm carrying my gun legally concealed because I can still do that, even though Publix said they didn't want me to openly carry, folks. All right. And I'm reaching up for the garbanzo beans and some citizen sees a gun on my hip and I walk out towards the register. The next thing you know, I'm being surrounded by two or three deputies. Now, in this state, by law, unless I'm violating the law, they can't ask me to do anything. They can't ask to see my permit. The question that would come into 911 is, what is the individual with the gun doing? He's reaching for the garbanzo beans. I'm sorry, ma'am. He's not violating any laws. It's against the law for me to even ask him questions. But in this case, they don't care. I got an overzealous deputy trying to make a name for himself who all of a sudden becomes a little overzealous and starts asking me questions. As an attorney, what do I do? Do I tell him you're not allowed to be at? Do I want to get argumentative? If not, what do I do?
Absolutely. Do not get argumentative. You're not going to win that argument. You might have a polite conversation with the officer and explain your view of things if they appear amenable to polite conversation. But once they're giving you orders, you absolutely comply with those orders. Now, you might say, I do this under objection. If they say, can we search your vehicle? You might say, no, I do not give permission for you to search my vehicle. But you don't physically try to stop them from searching your vehicle. You physically comply with what they're doing. Because remember, you cannot assume that the police officers themselves have a proper understanding of the law, but they might think they do. They might think what they're ordering you to do is lawful. And as long as they believe that, then they will use as much force as is necessary to do what they think is lawful. The place to argue out whether or not it is in fact lawful is not there on the scene, because it's going to become very painful very quickly. It's in court where you make those arguments.
So you want us, it's super advice again from Andrew Branca, comply with the officer's request so you don't find yourself face down, pockmarked face with a bunch of gravel in your neck and in your chin and your cheek, simply because that officer, and you know it, maybe you're right, didn't have a right to ask you for your driver's license. Give him your driver's license, argue it after the fact, and go home in one piece. If you don't want to have a run-in with law enforcement, by the way, and Andrew and I will tell you this, don't speed. That's probably really good advice. Andrew Branca, I want to thank you very much for being here. And I thank you for all of the information, and thank you for the website. Armed American Radio. See, I can't help. I default to that. LawOfSelfDefense.com/AAR, lawofselfdefense.com/AAR. That closes out this edition, 3 hours of Armed American Radio's Monster Cast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Support all of our sponsors. They're supporting you. That's the way the equation works. And remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you on The Daily Show tomorrow from the GunBroker.com studios.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.